Alright, so we're going to start. What's the bottom of him with Bet, top of Vavim with Aleph? Just the question that we left off with last time. The Gemara assumes that there is, conceptually, there is this chazaka that exists, which is that a person does not prepay their loans. So now, once we've established that chazaka, how does that chazaka stand, for instance, when a person comes after the time that the loan has already expired? And at that point in time, he makes a claim that I prepaid the loan. So the Gemara wants to know, Ibai Lahu, in that case, do we say, right, that b'makom chazaka, right, amrina madli l'shakir, that meaning that I can say there's a migo. Migo is that had I said that I paid you back the loan after the due date, I would have been believed. So I'm also neman to say that I prepaid the loan, even in the face of this chazaka. Oh, and this is the beginning of Vavar, Avo Dilma. When it comes to a chazaka, we don't say mali l'shakir. I mean, the chazaka is so strong as to tell us that when you have this migo doesn't exist anymore because there aren't really no. It's almost like having a migo b'makom edim. Right? We have migo b'makom edim is anan sadeh. When we have anan sadeh, that edim, that it cannot be true, your statement cannot be true, or we don't believe that statement, then your migo no longer applies. So to over here, maybe makom chazaka, we won't say, right, madli l'shakir. So Tashma, the Gemara wants to bring a proof from our Mishnah. Bechezkat shenatan, ad shivi raya shlonatan. Right, so the chazaka is that he gave the money, and this is in a wall that's built up to 4 amot. Right, the chazaka is that he did pay for it, until we have a raya that he did not give it. Hey chidomi, what's the case? So Ilay Mashatovu Lachar Zman, if he asked for it after the time has come, Vamarlo Praticha Bizmani. He says, I paid it on time. And remember yesterday, as Rashi says, Zmani means at the time of the completion of the wall. Right? Pshita, of course he's believed then, he's Neman then. Why shouldn't he be believed? What's the reason we shouldn't believe him? Elav, Damalay Praticha Batoch Zmani. Must be the chiddush of this mission is that he prepaid the amount that he owed for the wall. So Alma, Filu b'makom chazaka, even the face of a chazaka that people generally don't prepay. Nevertheless, Amrinan Mali l'shakir. Over here we say Mali l'shakir, and he's Neman to say, after the wall was put up, he's Neman to say that I paid for it prior to the completion of the wall. Now it says, Shani Hocha, and this is the same answer the Gemara gave yesterday, what? The Chol Shafa v'Shafa, or either, yesterday we saw Chol Safa v'Safa, the other Girsa, Zmanehu, that every layer is the Zman. When it comes to each layer of the wall, that is considered a completion of the wall. So when he goes in and prepays the wall, it's not as if he prepaid prior to the completion of the wall, he actually paid whatever was done until that point. That is its Zmane, and therefore he is believed because of that. So Tashma, let's look at the second half of the Mishnah. Midalat amot olamalo in mechayvin oto. Above 4 amot, right, he is not chayav to pay for it, meaning that we say that he's not obligated to contribute towards it. Now, samach lokot delacher, on the other hand, if he builds a wall that's adjacent to this wall, which makes it pretty clear that he is noachle, that he is benefiting from the fact that he raised the wall this high, then he is assumed to not have contributed toward the world. Achivi yireyash natan. So he brings proof that he gave to it. Why? Because he was under no obligation to pay for the wall. If he's under no obligation to pay for the wall, nobody pays when they don't have to pay. So if nobody pays when they don't have to pay, we assume that he didn't pay unless he brings a raya, then he did pay. Seichidami, what's the case? So again, remember we mentioned in Tosfos yesterday, the case is clearly where there's evidence, circumstantial evidence that he wasn't willing to pay, meaning that he said up front, I don't want to pay for it, I want to be a part of this. There's some sort of evidence that he didn't pay. Otherwise, why should we say that he didn't contribute towards a joint wall over here? The only way you would say he didn't contribute to a joint wall, even above 4 amot, is if we have indications otherwise that he really didn't want to contribute. And then we say, now he can't come along afterwards and say, you know what, even though I didn't want to contribute, I did contribute, unless he has proof that he did so. Say, Chidami, what's the case? If he says to him, listen, he asked them to pay after the time that the completion of the wall, and he says, I paid at the completion of the wall, then am I low? Why shouldn't he believe? Again, once we say that the wall is complete, that chazaka, that negative chazaka, that one doesn't prepay, doesn't exist anymore, and he was toveya him, and he claims back that I paid you. So why can't he believe? It's a regular case of kofar bakol. Why shouldn't he be believed over here? Elav damar praticha b'toch zmani. Rather, the case must be that he prepaid. So what do you see here? Amo makom chazaka lo amrina mali l'shakir. So here he prepays. And despite what happened, he's now standing after the completion of the wall. So after completion of the wall, he has a miko. He could say, listen, I paid you on time. The fact that he went ahead and said, I prepaid for you, right, that is a miko. He could have been, I had a better claim. I could have said I paid after the completion of the wall. Instead, I told you I prepaid the wall. So I should be believed because I could have made another claim. But what do I have against that? Against that, on the other side, I have a chazakah that people don't prepay. And what do you see the Mishnah says? The Mishnah says, you're not believed. So that would be a proof that, b'makom chazakah lo amrinan miko. So when I says, no, shani hocha again, the same reason that we gave, right, on yesterday's daf, that here it's an unusual case. What's the unusual case? Generally, when it comes to prepayments, maybe people would be prepaying. Why? Because they have the money in hand. They don't want to spend it on something else. They don't want it to disappear. They say, if I have the money now, I want to pay for it. But when it comes to cases where a person has a safek or some sort of reason to believe that they will not be chayab over here, then we do not believe that they will prepay it. Because right, they have ample reason to delay payment because they figure by delaying payment they may never have to pay this amount. And when a person has that on his tzad, that's almost makzik the chazakah. That elevates the chazakah to the point where we don't believe that he would prepay. There's both the chazakah that people generally don't prepay, plus in this instance there's a reason why he shouldn't prepay because there's a mitigating factor. Right. Might even not need to pay. Right. So he has a safek here. Why should he prepay? So there we say we don't believe him. But in general, maybe we do believe him in amigo in the face of a chazakah. Right. So Amalei Ravacha V'rei D'Rovo Ravashi Tashma. Have a proof. Mane Lebi Adecha. So he says, listen, I have 100 zuz with you. Amalohin says, yeah, Ein Hochanami. You lend me 100 zuz. The Machar, the next day he shows up. Amalohin Tzneuli. Says, all right, you admitted that you owe me the money. Now pay me. So he says, if he says that I already paid it, he's patur. If he says, you have nothing with me, chayav. So now, Gemara wants to know, my love, what is the case here? My love, netatich lecha. What is the case of netati lecha that I paid you? He says, damalei praticha bizmani. So if that's when he says, I paid you at the end of the time when the loan came due. If he says you have nothing on me, the explanation of that means what? That I paid you prior to the time expiration of the loan. In that instance, says he does have to pay. So therefore we see what? In the face of a chazakah, we don't say migo. Because here we say that there's a case where he definitely owes the money. When he owes the money, if he makes a claim that I paid you the money at the end or the termination or the expiration of the loan, then he's believed. But if I pay prior to the expiration of the loan, he's not believed. I says, well, what are you talking about? Why does that have to be the explanation of the words? Ma in lecha biyadi. When you say in lecha biyadi, that could mean lo yudvari meolam. There was no such loan ever outstanding. So if there's no such loan ever outstanding, dam amar. Kol omer lo leviti, ki ilu omer lo prati dami. That a person who says I never borrowed the money obviously says I didn't repay the money. Because, right, if I never borrow the money, I'm certainly not going to be prepaying the money. So what happened over here? We have Adim. We have evidence that he admitted to paying, to having to owe the loan. I owe you 100 zuz. So that he was willing to admit to 100 dinar, I owe you the money. No questions asked. The Adim, we have now Adim show up. Now, the next day the guy shows up and says, pay me my money. Now he has two possibilities. One claim he makes is prati, I paid you. So in that instance, he's believed. Why? Because even a person who borrows Eidim can pay back without Eidim. So if he says Parati, he's believed that I paid it back. On the other hand, if he goes in and denies the fact that I ever borrowed the money, says, listen, I never borrowed the money. Now, well, we have Eidim to the contrary. Eidim that say, he did borrow the money, and he admitted to him borrowing the money. So now what do we say?
I don't say that he actually borrowed it with Eidim. He has to repay it with Eidim. I mean, here he didn't borrow it with Eidim. Here he admitted to it in front of
Eidim. Right, so Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuot, it says, the Kamel Shavuot, Amalvet, Chviro Beidim, Interechle for O Beidim. That's the conclusion of the Gemara in Shavuot, that you don't have to repay. Even though you borrow with Eidim, you don't have to repay with Eidim. So over here, you would be believed to say Parati, even though the fact. Right?
It could happen to have been Eidim.
Right, so the problem is now that since there are Eidim, and then he says, I never borrowed the money. So now what does that mean? I never borrowed the money. So the truth is that you could have one of two interpretations. One interpretation is I never borrowed the money is I never borrowed the money, and that would be disproven by the Eidim. Or the other possibility is I never borrowed the money because I already paid you back. So now, the statement we bring here, the statement of Amar Mar, that a kol omer lo diviti, kiel omer lo parati dami. That if I say lo diviti, if I say I never borrowed it, it means I never repaid it. And that's what that statement means. If that's the case, then you definitely owe the money. You have edim that say you owe the money. Then you come along and say, I didn't ever borrow the money. Now we have edim that disproved that statement. So now it's clear if you said I didn't borrow the money that you never repaid it. It's almost similar to what we said before. Person says that I have a safek, I'm not sure I owe you the money, then he's never going to pay it. So over here, if he denies ever owing the money, then he certainly did not pay the money over here. If that's the case, right, that's why he's not believed over here. He's not believed over here because he's making a denial, which is the equivalent of saying I didn't pay you. If I didn't pay you, I still owe you the money. So that's why that's the chiddush of this gemara. Now the gemara is inconclusive when it comes to the issue of amin and migo b'machem chazaka or lo. Right, the gemara has not tried to bring proof from the reish of our mishnah, the sefer of our mishnah, right, and the case of mani lebi adecha, and none of them worked out. The gemara always has an alternative of reading the gemara of these mishnayot where it does not bring a proof to the whether there is a migo b'machem chazaka or not. Right now. Next part of the Mishnah was the Samach Lo Kotel Achayer Megalgalina Bet Hakol. He puts up a wall right next to the wall that's standing there. Then we force him to pay for everything. The Gedalia asked yesterday, Megalgalina Bet Hakol, what does it mean, Hakol? So it suggests yesterday that Hakol means anything above 4 amot, and that's what the Rambam Perish of Mishnayot says, Oto Tosefet. The additional amount that he put above the core 4 amot, that's what he is then obligated to pay. So now, the Gemara asks, Amar Rav Huna, Samach lepalga, Samach lekula. So Rav Huna makes a statement, when you put up a wall adjacent to this wall, it's very easy, the Mishnah doesn't clarify this case that we're mentioning now, but the assumption of the Mishnah seems to be that he built a wall that is completely adjacent to the other wall. So if he does that, it's clear that he owes money for the Tosefet, because he's going to use that other wall, and it's showing that it's Noach lo. On the other hand, what happens if he only builds a wall for halfway down, for 50% of the length, or 50% of the height? At that point of time, can we say Megalgalina Delavet Hakol? Alright, so he builds a wall up to 50% of the width, which we can say then, listen, you built a wall up to that height, so it's clear that you want to use the other wall, even though now you still have another 50% that you didn't build a wall adjacent to. Or same thing with height. You built a wall, the entire length of the wall, but only up to right, halfway point. So in that instance, Rav Huna says, if you built it, you got to pay for the whole thing. Rav Nachman Amar, Lamai de Samach, Samach, Lamai de Samach, Lo Samach. Whatever you built, you pay for. What you don't build, you don't pay for. Umoda. Now the Gemara wants to narrow down their machlokas. The Gemara says, I'll explain the Gemara here according to Rashi, and then later on we'll see that Rabbeinu Tam has different interpretations. Umoda Rav Huna. Rav Huna admits that Bekarna Velufta. So Bekarna Velufta, Rashi seems to say, is one case here. It's a case where it's a corner, right, that he is Mechaber, that he enjoins, that makes it clear that he's not going to extend the wall beyond that point. So for instance, if he has this wall is perpendicular to the house, and then he builds out a wall from the house, and then he turns it, the wall towards the other wall, right? Meaning that the wall that exists, and then he builds a small wall coming out, a jutting, and then adjacent to it, and then he makes it another wall perpendicular to make it into a, like a small machsan that he's placing up over there. If he does that, it's clear that he will not extend the wall beyond that point. So it's clear that he won't extend the wall beyond that point. Then even Rav Huna agrees that he doesn't pay for the whole wall, the extent of the wall, but up to the point that he has drawn towards. Rav Nachman Amar, I'm sorry, Umod Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman agrees with Friza or be Kavata de Kshure. So Rashi explains that if a Friza and Kavata de Kshure is a case here, not talking about when we're talking about the length of the wall, but about the height of the wall. When it comes to the height of the wall, he built up a portion of the way, but not up fully. So now, what does he do? He puts in either one of two items that shows that he's going to frame out a higher point on the wall. Rashi describes, the first one is Ifriza and Kavata Kishure. I'll go to Kavata Kishure because that's the base case, which is that he puts a beam. He puts a beam along the top of this stone wall. He puts a thick beam along the top of the wall. Why do you do that? Beam across the top of the wall. He's prepping the top of the wall in order to place these other, right, joists that are going to stand to hold up the frame. columns, these 2x4s that are going to stand above it, that are going to hold up the frame, because otherwise there's no need to place the wood atop the top. I mean, if you want to finish the wall could be finished with stone. The fact that you place a beam across the top is indicative of the fact that you're trying to separate between the moisture of the wall and now what you're going to frame, which is going to be the second story or the second level of this wall. So by placing the beam there, it's clear that you're indicating that you're going to raise the wall's height beyond that point. That's the case of a long beam. Now, the cheaper way to do this, which is someone who can't afford to buy the beams, meaning that a long beam, right, that is, even today, right, to get a long beam that is thick and that length is more expensive than to buy smaller pieces of wood. So the cheaper way to do this is actually if you actually drill into the wall, you create a hole in the wall, and then you frame out each hole with wood. When you frame out each hole with wood, that will protect to put these new joists into the wall. So if you've done either of those two items, right, that's indicative that you plan to raise the height of the wall beyond what it is right now. Once you've done that, even Rav Nachman agrees that if you only built the wall halfway, we don't say just pay for up to the point that you built, but even up beyond that point, you should pay up to the top of the wall because it's clear you're indicating that you're going to raise this wall beyond the point now. That's the way Rashi explains these two cases. The Rabbeinu Tam explains Kavata Deshuri the same way as Rashi, which is the beam across. Whereas the other three issues he describes differently. If you look at the Rabbeinu Tam, it's less Tosfos on the left side here. It says, in fact, Rabbeinu Tam, Karna the Heker. He makes Karna the Heker, Shalo Yarecha Choma Yoter. Shabasofo To Kotel Shasamach Kaifei the Karna Kaufei Kodol. So this is similar to what Rashi says, which Rashi says that if he turns the wall to clearly indicate that that's the end of the wall, that he's not going to extend it beyond this point in time, that is even Rav Huna agrees that you don't pay for the whole amount. Now Rashi called Karna Velufta is one issue. Tosfos says no. Rabbeinu Tam says Velufta is the other way around. Karna is for the extent of the wall, the length of the wall. If you turn the wall, it's clear that you're not going to continue the wall beyond this point. What about with height? When it comes to height of a wall, you taper the wall as you get up the height. Tapering of the wall as you get higher is an indication that you will not raise the wall beyond this point. So if the person leaves the wall, brings the wall to a tapered point, that's clear that he's not going to extend the wall beyond that. And even Rav Huna would agree that you only pay for up to that height, not beyond that, because it's clear he's not going to extend the wall beyond that point in time. And the last case, which he calls a ifriza, ifriza is a case where the end of the wall, instead of tapering the wall or turning the wall to indicate this is the end, he leaves the wall with the stones almost uneven or a jutting, which looks like he could just start to continue the wall from that point in time. So Rav Nachman would agree in the case where he doesn't taper the top doesn't turn the wall but leaves it where it's all uneven. It looks like he could just continue building the wall. Then even Rav Nachman agrees that it's an indication that he will continue to build the wall. So, but either way, according to Rashi and Tosfos, what the Gemara is after here, where Rav Huna will agree to Rav Nachman is where there's a clear indication that he intends to stop the building, right? Then he'll agree that you only pay for what you built. And Rav Nachman, the other way around, is where there's a clear indication that you intend to continue the building. Then we say you got to pay for the whole thing because we know that you're going to continue and take a benefit. Now, Amar Rav Huna, Beikvai Delo Havi Chazaka. Right, so now, these holes that Rashi describes, these holes, remember we just discussed, these little holes that you put in the top of the wall in order to allow for joists to be sunk, right, and these beams to be stuck in there when you're framing out the wall, right? So when you put them in, you put these holes and then you frame them out with wood. So the case is Veik Voilo Evi Chazaka, V'afagal Davilei Himlati. Himlati are these frames, the wooden frames, right? Oh, struts. Thank you. Very good. Those are the ones. Right. So those struts that you put in there, right? Those holes that you place to hold the struts up, right? You frame them out, that is, with these little wood to make sure that they're not really sitting on the stone. Those are called himlati. So now what happens if the individual went ahead and built the wall that separates between the two chatzerot? Now, on top of this wall, right, he places holes on the side of his neighbor. Not on his side, but on the side of the neighbor. So he builds up the wall totally beyond the four amot that they're obligated to join. He builds it up to eight amot. Then on the top of the wall, he places in these holes that allow for struts to be placed into them and even frames them out. But which side of the wall does he place those on? The side of his neighbor. So what are you going to say? You're going to say, well, that's a chazakah that the neighbor must have paid into this. Why? Because otherwise, why would he have ever allowed him to put these holes on his side of the wall if he's not paying for the wall? Why would he ever allow, why would he ever put that? Why would he ever prep the wall for his neighbor who never contributed towards the wall? So you would have said that's a chazakah. So along comes Rav Huna and says that is not a chazakah. Why? He says, I figured in the end you're going to pay for it. And when you pay for it, then you're going to want to put up your struts, right? You're going to want to put up some support in there. And what are you going to do? You're going to start drilling into the wall. You're going to start digging holes into the wall, which is going to weaken the foundation of the wall. So I said, you know what? Let me do it up front, right? And I'll do it. And in the end, you're going to pay me. And that's why I did it. So therefore, it's not a chazakah over here. Now, Rashi makes a point over here, which is important. It also makes it on the second Amud, that when we talk about chazakah, right, generally we think of chazakah being 3 years, right? The chazakah is that if you use it for 3 years, that's a claim on the property. And if you have a claim that I bought it or it was given to me as a present and you worked on it 3 years, you no longer need a shtar. That's called a chazakah, that I worked on it. So Rashi makes a point here that the chazakah we're talking about here is not the chazakah of 3 years. The chazakah over here we're talking about is a chazakah which entitles one to ownership or a claim immediately. Meaning that immediately, this is considered to be a good claim. Why? Because, and we have a general principle, because lo shavik inish lishtemushe b'toch shelo, people were not permitted others to use their property, tashmish shel kviut, a permanent type of usage, below reshuto, without his permission. Meaning that if we allow you to, the person is not going to come along, your neighbor is not going to allow you to build a permanent structure, right, and infringe on his rights, whether it's his air rights, whether it's his property rights, right, whether it's an easement onto his property, he will not let you do that unless he has permission. And therefore, if you're able to put the building out and we see no objection for the neighbor, then you have a chazakah that you got either got permission, somehow got permission. Now, Rashi says you have to have a claim here. You have to have a claim that I bought it from him, I got permission from him. You have to have a claim that says that you actually did get rights to. You can't just say I did it and he didn't object and therefore I own it. But as long as you say I have a right to do this, right, and the neighbor has not objected, then we assume the chazakah is immediate. Immediately, your claim is considered to be a good claim, or your right, your easement exists now, and he can't come and say, listen, I don't want this here anymore. That you can't do. So that's the case here. Rav Huna suggests what? The fact that you place these supports or these holders into the wall that allows for struts by the neighbor, maybe that should be a chazakah, because that's a permanent structure that allows the neighbor to use the wall. So he says, no, over here we have a reason why you would do this, because it will protect the integrity of the wall later on when he finally decides to pay in and use the wall. Now, the next case. Amar of Nachman, achzik lohordai, lo achzik l'kshurai. If you get permission to place on the wall, you have permission to place thinner, we call them beams across, thinner frames, right, rafters across, then lo achzik l'kshurai. You can then not place across thicker beams across. So the case seems to be, right, again, that he built an adjacent wall, and now he's roofing the wall. You get permission from the neighbor to place down a certain weight of, right, roofing that's along here, that's going to be supported by the wall. If you get it for small beams, then you can't use large beams there. On the other hand, if you get it l'kshurei, if you get it for thick beams, then you can use thinner beams, because the individual benefits from using the thinner beams because it puts less pressure on the wall. So he should, of course, agree to it, right? It's a kosher cane, right, shita. But Rav Yosef Amar, achzik l'ordai, achzik l'kshurai, that he says doesn't matter either way. And Rav Yosef is the chiddush here, which says doesn't matter. Chazaka works both ways, and if you have a right to put up a roof, you have a right to put up a roof, whether it's made out of hordai or kshurai. Your right is to place a roof, not the type of roof, but right to place a roof over here. Ikedamre, now we have a second way of explaining this. Amar of Nachman, achzik l'ordai, achzik l'kshurai, l'kshurai, achzik l'ordai. Like Shaul just said, pshita. Rav Nachman agrees. No matter what, if you have a right to a roof, you can place it either way. Another thing to talk about. Amar Rav Nachman, but achzik l'netfai, achzik l'shofchai, achzik l'shofchai, lo achzik l'netfai. There's a different type of chazakah here, which is your roof. Your roof is slanted, and therefore when water and rain fall on your roof, what happens? The water runs off. Where is it dumping the water? Into your friend's chatzer. Now, you don't have a gutter along your roof. So if you don't have a gutter along your roof, what's going to happen when it rains? The water's going to run off the roof all along the right length of the roof. It's going to fall into your friend's chatzer. So you have a chazakah to do what? You have a chazakah to allow the water to run off on into his property along the whole length of the wall. If then you decide to put up a gutter and then dump the water into one specific location, Rabbi Nachman says, no problem. Since you had a right before to dump the water across the whole length of the chatzer, now you consolidate the water and bring it down to one location, that's much better for him. So clearly you have a chazaka to do that. But the other way around is not true. If you have a right where you have your gutter along the wall and the runners, right, of the gutter dump the water into one location in the chatzer, then you can't remove the gutters and allow your water to dump anywhere you want in this chatzer. That is not permitted according to Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Achzik LeShofchai Achzik LeNatfai. That even in the case where you have a right to a gutter and a runner to go into a single location, you can then remove the gutter and dump your water into his property. Why? You have a right to dump your water in his property. A right to dump your water in his property doesn't mean one location, no location. It means you just have a right to have your roof drain into his property no matter what. Then Ikadamre, this is a third Lashon, which again, Rav Nachman's going to agree to Rav Yosef's position in the previous Lashon. Ikadamre, Rav Nachman, Achuzuke, Ilashach, Achzik LeNatfe, Natfe, Achzik LeShofchei. When it comes to when you have the full length of the roof, or you have a gutter with a runner over there, you have permission to go either way, right? Whereas Avalut Shifa Durbani, when it comes to a gazebo, that if you have your roof is not made out of a solid roof, but rather out of this aravot, and the aravot are going to direct the water into a more concentrated flow, which is going to make a very, very heavy flow into the chatzer, makes this chatzer unusable at this point, then we don't allow you to do this low. Rav Yosef Mar, Avalut Shifa Durbani, once you have a right to dump your water, you can dump it any way you want. I mean, no matter what your roof is made of, whether it's Shafchei, Natfei, or Tzrifa Durbani, whatever you're dumping your water, you have a right to do this. So Abba Rav Yosef, Uvda B'Tzrifa Durbani, and he was Paskan Alocha, like his own Shita, which is that you can dump the water in any manner that you want. Right, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravu, Amaskir Bayi L'Chaveiro, right, the person who rents out a part of his house to a friend, Bibira. Now the Bira is Bibira Gdola. So this is a Bira Gdola, is a large, large house, a large, I call it a mansion. And in the mansion, you have subdivisions within the mansion. So he rents out the usage of a room or a portion of this bira. Now, once he gets this portion of the building, then he has a right to mishtamesh bekaleu bezizeh. That he has a right to use the walls and the zizim. The walls and the zizim, meaning anything that runs along this whole building, you have a right to store things inside of the wall, to hang things from the side of the wall. Even though you've only rented a small section of the bira, your right extends beyond this small section, and that you can use the entire walls or the entire zizim. What?
Exterior
walls, right. That's what it seems here to be, the exterior walls along the chatzer. These walls are all open to your usage at this. So that's he says, Bechori HaKodim Alpnei Arkav Mi Bechutz Ad Dal Ramot Av Shelo Keneged Beito. Even though it's not opposite his house itself, he can use the entire wall there. He gets full usage of the wall outside. That's the basic answer. But Ube'ovi HaKodim B'mot Ad Dal Ramot Ube'ovi HaKodim B'makom Shenagu. In the places that they are no egg such, then he gets the right to use also the thickness of the wall up until Dal Ramot. Aval Bitarbeitz apadne lo. But when it comes to the, I would call this the antechamber, it seems to be there was a front yard to these buildings that they used to put up, which was made for like an area where you walked in and it was nice and all the grass was nice and laid out and made a pretty courtyard entrance, right? Some sort of nice entrance. There you don't have permission to mess it up because it's made to be beautiful. I mean, it's made for its aesthetic use, not for its utility. And therefore, when you rent a piece of the house, you don't get a right to that. Rav Nachman Didei Amar, Rav Nachman himself says, I feel that you have a right to use that. Even the entranceway, since you're going to enter the house that way, you have a right to usage of this entrance courtyard, but when it comes to the backyard, that you don't have rights to use the backyard. So now, and Rava Amar, and even the backyard, according to Rava, is you have entitlement to use. So the question is, when you rent a subdivision of the house, right, what rights do you gain by this? And we had, according to each opinion, one opinion says you have rights just for the walls, right, and the, you know, inside of the walls, and the usage of the zizim, the parts that stick out, that you can use. The next opinion says that not only that, you have the rights to the front yard, or the courtyard entrance. And the other opinion, Rava, the last opinion is that you even have rights to the backyard, even though you're not taking possession of the whole house, or using the whole house. Your fact that you've taken a portion of the house gives you a right to the whole house at this point in time. Rashi makes a point that's just a general statement about it. Kol hekev shachrei abatim karuim rachva. Any backyard is called a rachva. Shlefnei abatim karuim chatzer. And that which is in front of the house is called a chatzer, a courtyard. So just so you know, whenever we talk about chatzer, chatzer means front, and rachva means backyard. So it's just a general principle. Amar Avinu, haik shura demetalata. that a person puts up a board or some sort of roof for shade in his property, and he rests it on the wall, right, or the adjacent wall that is between the two of them. For the first 30 days, it's not a chazakah when you place it up for shade. After 30 days, then it is a chazakah. Again, the chazakah here is a right, an easement of usage, a right to say that I have permission to use this in this manner. So here, over here, if he puts it up for the first 30 days, the people are not makpid in that way. Guy needs some shade, he puts it up, and we say, listen, you know what, you know, my neighbor needs some shade for a short period of time, I'm not going to bother him. Once he leaves it up for 30 days, then it already becomes the equivalent of a permanent structure. If it's going to be a permanent structure and you do not object, then he's basically, in a sense, earned the right to say, you gave me permission to use this. And you can't object to that because the fact that you've left it there for such a duration means, or is indicative of the fact that he must have had permission to do this. So that'll be coming up. So, e sukkah de mitzvahi. What happens if it is a sukkah of a chag? Right, so then, ad shiva yomin. Then only for 7 days do you have permission to do that. Then, lo avi chazakah. For the first 7 days, it's not a chazakah. Why? Because clear, you're using the sukkah for sukkah tachag. Now, Tosfos puts it lav dafka 7 days, because Shmini Atzeret, you can't take it down. So it has to be at least 8 days, right, that he has the sukkah up. Right, but the shiva yomin avi chazakah. After that 7 day period, right, then it will be chazakah. So I mean, if Tosfos says lav dafka, I say, can't maybe like the day after. But if a person puts up a sukkah in a manner that was put up clearly for the chag, and give him time to take it down, and what would be the normal amount of time that a person takes down a sukkah, then in that case, he can't claim a chazakah. On the other hand, if he puts up a sukkah, right, and he leaves the sukkah there, and it's there all night, he's not really putting up a sukkah, but rather, right, ichavri betina, if he puts it up with cement, right, or, right, then va'alter abi chazakah. If he puts it up with cement, it's clear that immediately is a chazakah, because then he intends to keep the structure there all the time. Number two is, if he leaves the structure there, now what we're talking about, there are two parts of the sukkah. The sukkah has what I would call the pergola part of the sukkah, which is the frame, or the permanent frame, and then there is the sukkah, which is the, right, the actual schach, or the covering on top. So if he puts up a pergola, right, and then he leaves it there beyond the zman of the chag, then it's clear that he's putting up a permanent structure that's going to remain there. And if you don't object, then that's a chazakah, right, when you don't object, or after the zman of chag. On the other hand, right, if he just puts up a schach, or the sukkah to chag, then we don't assume that that is a chazakah until he leaves it there beyond the zman, which we consider normal for a sukkah to be there.
And this is, the whole point here is that the neighbor is doing it on his own land, but it's just using the wall that the other person built.
Correct, correct.
Well, and he didn't pay.
Either he didn't pay or he didn't ask permission. I mean, that his, over here, it could be that he paid for the wall, but it's a jointly owned wall. Uh-huh. Now, when he leans his sukkah or he rests his building on the wall, then that weakens the wall and affects both parties in the wall. Uh-huh. So he must have permission in order to do this. So even if he is a real joint owner here in the wall, nevertheless, he has to get permission to do such. Now, if he claims I got permission, the other person says you didn't get permission, then we look at the situation. The circumstances will indicate whether he really should have, who the burden of proof is going to be on over here, right?
So if he has really a lot of chutzpah that he'll use cement.
Right. So the fact that you didn't object when he put cement there is indicative of the fact that he really didn't have a right to put this. Otherwise, nobody would sit silently by while a guy builds a cement structure leaning on his wall. Right. That's the idea here. All right. Now, Amar Abaye, Shnei Batim, B'Shnei Tzidei Rishut HaRabim. You have two houses opposite each other on the Rishut HaRabim. Right? So you live opposite each other along the Rishut HaRabim. Zeh Oseh Ma'akeh L'Chatzig Ago, V'Zeh Oseh Ma'akeh L'Chatzig Ago, Zeh Shalokeh G'zeh V'Zeh Ma'adif. So what do you do? You have two houses. There's a roof on top. Say you have the Rishut HaRabim that sits between them, and they each have their roofs over here. Now, they don't have privacy. They don't have privacy from each other. So what do we demand of each one? Each one of them should put up a wall halfway across on the opposite sides. Not the same half, but the opposite halves. And then they go off a little bit. Madif. They extend a little beyond the half. So now once they do that, now they protect it against, or they protect each other's privacy or usage over here. Because now they can't see each other. Each one because of the half wall that they put up. Right? So that's the obligation over here. So I'm Rabbi Shnei Batim. What, for protection? Ma'akeh, right. All right, so that's a good question here. What's the use of this ma'akeh here? So that's what the Gemara is going to ask in a second about this. Shnei batim, shnei tzedei v'shabim, zeh oseh ma'akeh l'chatzig ago, v'zeh ma'akeh l'chatzig ago, zeh shnok yedzeh u'madif. Ma'iriyah b'shut harabim. Why do you have to be only Rishut Arvim? Afilu Rishut Achinami. Meaning that the problem, whatever problem you're discussing here that has to dealt with between me and you across the way between Rishut Arvim, even if we were adjacent houses, you should have the same problem on our two roofs being adjacent. If our two roofs are adjacent, then you should have to put up this same sort of, right, half wall here to protect against whatever you think over here. Gemara says, no. Rishut Arvim, it's Trichalei. Ain't Ochinami, by Rishut Yachid, you also need this wall. But by Rishut Arvim, I have a half a meaning that you don't need a wall at all. Why? What doesn't matter when we each put up a half wall, you haven't really solved your problem. Why haven't you solved your problem? Because the road that goes in between, the people can look up into your gag and see your roof. They can see your roof. When you put up a half wall, you haven't solved your problem of tzniut or hezekriya here, because they reshut the rim can still look in. So why demand of me to place another half wall on your other side when my usage is, right, no worse than the Bnei Rishut Rabim? That's the Habamina Kamash Malan, that we say no. Damalei, Rabim B'yomama Chazuli. The Rishut Rabim is only used during the daytime. At nighttime, I have privacy on my roof. B'leli Alo Chazuli. By nighttime, they're not going to bother me. I don't have a problem, Tznut. But you, Ad Ben B'yomama Ben Leila Chazidli. You cause me a problem day and night, because your usage on your roof is either or. Inami, Rabim ki kaminu chazuli. The Rabim, when they're walking, they're standing up, or they look up, then they see my property. Ki yadvina lo chazuli. When they're sitting down, they don't see me. At chazuli, ben ki kamina, ben ki yadvina. Or tivna, right? Whether you're standing, whether I'm standing or not, stand sitting, right? Or whether you're standing or sitting, right? Either way, right? There's going to be a difference in the usage here. If I stand or sit, and you stand or sit, either way, you're going to see me. Right, whereas Bnei Rishut Rabim, when I stand up or when they are up high, they can see me. But when they're sitting or if I'm sitting, when they're low down or I'm sitting down, they can't see me. There's no visibility to me. So if there's no visibility to me, I can use this roof without the Bnei Rishut Rabim seeing me. But you can't use your roof without me having a problem. Right, Rabim ki ma'inu chazuli. The Rabim have to make a concerted effort to look. People generally don't look up onto the roof, try to find what's up there. Right, they're walking straight along the way. They have to make a, right, a determined effort to look and see what's going on the roof. But you, right, at mamila namakazatli, you just showing up on your roof, you're going to be looking at anything I do without making any concerted effort.
He came is more about
himself. Himself, right.
If he's standing.
Correct. Correct. I explained it both ways, but I think it could be true both ways. I think kamina means I am standing and I am sitting. Correct. That
we're
is correct.
Not talking the cloud about the mitzvah of
No.
Okay, so we'll see in a second. It doesn't sound like it. We're talking about here, it sounds like Hezek Re'iyah, so right. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Now the Gemara's going to ask the question. Right, so that's the next question.
Hold on. So if it's just Hezek Re'iyah, and he builds through here and he builds through here, but this guy can walk over here and look and see the guy over here in his roof.
No, because that's what the Madif stops. The Madif, that extra piece, is supposed to stop it.
The guy is not allowed to walk beyond his Madif.
No, the Madif, right? No, the Madif on your both sides. Here, if I have a wall here, I have a wall here, that angle is going to be cut by the extra piece. That's the idea.
So it cuts the angle even to
Right. They each go halfway plus beyond the halfway in order to cut the angle down that you can't see across, right?
If it were exactly halfway, then
it
would be that
topic. Okay. All right, so now, the Gemara says, Amar, Zeh Osem Hatzik Ago, Zeh Osem Makel Hatzik Ago, Zeh Shalok Neged Zeh Madif, Pshita. The Gemara says, Pshita. What's the question? Of course, that's what they have to do. They have to split it and have to create a problem here. So, Lo Tzricha, the Gadim Chad Minayu V'Avad, then one of them went ahead and built half his wall first. Maldutema, what I have thought, namele idach shoku ziknka v'avde et kule. He'd say, listen, I'll pay you and finish off your wall. You already built halfway. Let me pay you the whatever your outlays are, and you finish the wall across the whole way. That way, we don't have to build one wall. If we both build on each of our properties, what happens? Then we have to build halfway plus, halfway plus. So on a net basis, we're going to build more than one wall. If you build a wall across your whole roof, we won't have to build one wall. So listen to me. You already started. I'll pay you to finish off the wall, and I'll compensate you for that. Kamash Malan, that he can't do that. Why? Darmalay. At my time, Elo Avit Mishom. Why don't you want to put the wall on your roof? Mishom de Mizraya Shitech. Because it's going to weaken your foundations. You're going to put more weight on your foundations. It's going to ruin your house. Ananami Mitzraya Shitech. Why do I want a whole wall across here instead of a half wall? It's going to put more bearing weight on my foundations, and I'm not going to want that. Amar Rav Nachman Shmuel. Gag Hasamuch L'Chatzer. When it comes to a roof that is close to a chatzer, chavero, oselo ma'akeh gvoa dalet amot. That he has to make a ma'akeh that is 4 amot high. Aval ben gag v'gag, when it comes to a roof, lo. Then he doesn't have to do that. Rav Nachman de Amar ino zakuk ledad amot. He doesn't have to put up 4 amot. Aval zakuk le mechitza tasara. He still needs a mechitza of 10 tfachim. Lamai, what is the need for this mechitza here? Ila has a griya. If Rav Nachman demands that you put a mechitza between the two roofs, right, then you need, if it says a griya, you need dalet amot. Arba amot binan. Ila nitpas alav kiganav. If it's to stop him from looking like for instance, you were up there and all of a sudden you see the guy on your roof, right? Then he could say, well, you know, look, something rolled off of my roof onto your roof. So we want to stop that. We put up a nice border between us to show that you don't go beyond this point. Then you don't need a mechitza asrat fachim. You need simply an indicator of where your roof ends. So you don't need anything else beyond that. If you're worried about animals crossing over between them, you need enough so that they can't crawl under, or enough that they can't stick their heads through and get through. So Gemara says, what do I need this wall, according to Rav Nachman, for? So Gemara says, lolam nitpas alav ki ganav. It's because of the problem of him looking like a ganav. Why? V'misipas matzi mishtamit lei. If when a misipas, he can kind of slip out of saying, what? Amar mimitsure kamimitsarna. Right, so then he says, listen, you know, something of mine slipped over into your property, and I was just reaching across, or I was just sticking my hand through, or crossing over, even though I know this is the end of my roof, but nevertheless, something popped out of my roof, and I went to get it. But, by mechitza tasara, there's no way to cross through it. Since there's no way to cross through it, or anything to go through it, then it's clear when he's on the other side of the roof, he's in the wrong place. Alright, so now, coming back to your question, Svi, what is this mechitza over here we're talking about? The mechitza we're clearly talking about here is for Hezek Ri'iyah. Hezek Ri'iyah is a demand of 4 amot. Now, when you're talking about Ma'akeh Mina Torah, which is this week's parasha of Ki Teitzeh, there the mechitza is a security fence. A security fence has nothing to do with height, necessarily. It might have to do with height. If we have a problem, a person can get over it. But the indication that 10 tefachim should be sufficient to prevent someone falling off the roof, or whatever is sufficient to help them fall off the roof. It's not about visibility, it's about security. So if you have a chain link fence along the roof, that would be sufficient for ma'akeh min haTorah, like in Kiteitzeh. But ma'akeh for Hezek Ri'ah, a chain link fence, or will not do it, right? Or a chain fence will not do anything for you because you can still see through it. Right, so that's the issue here. Clearly, is Hezek Ri'ah, except for the case of Rav Nachman, who says asarat tefachim. When it comes to stopping people from crossing over, it seems like asarat tefachim would be a sufficient mechitza to create that protection or that stopping of an individual crossing over. Right now, the Gemara says, Meitve, im hayah chatzero lemala migago. What happens if you have a chatzer that's above the roof of the other individual, shechaviro, eniz kakin lo? We don't demand of the person in the chatzer to put up some sort of mechitza. My love, eniz kakin lo klau. Sounds like you don't make him do anything. Lo, eniz kakin le dalad amot. We don't make him put up a dalad amot mechitza, aval eniz kakin le mechitza tasara. We do make him put up a 10 tefachim, which would be like Rav Nachman, right? The problem would be for Rav Nachman if you say you don't make him put up anything. Here we say we do make him put up a 10 tefachim wall, not a 4 amot wall. Why? Because we've seen this before in the Gemara. When it comes to a chatzer, the tashmish of a chatzer is kavua. When it comes to a gag, the tashmish of a gag is sometimes yes, sometimes no. And therefore, when the chatzer is above the gag, what's the problem? The problem is that the person in the chatzer can look down to the gag. If you can look down to the gag, we don't worry about that because the tashmish of a gag is low kavua. Since it's low kavua, we don't make him put up a dalet amot because of hezek riyah. So because of that, he doesn't have to put up a tether. But for 10 tefachim, to separate, a property separator, a way to indicate that you're not jumping over into my roof, and you're not extending yourself beyond where you should be, that you have to put up a mechitzat asara. So itmar, case, shtei chatzerot zulam alam zul. You have two chatzerot that are adjacent to each other. One is higher than the other. So Amar Rav Huna says, tachton boneh miknegdo, right, voleh. The lower chatzer has to put up a wall all the way up, right, up till Knegdo, what would be for him the 4 amot, voleh. Velyon, boneh, miknegdo, voleh. And the upper chatzer only starts to join him when he gets up to the point where he's met the level of the upper chatzer. So the lower, each chatzer, let's say the easiest way to explain this is what happens if they're off by 2 amot. There's a 2 amot difference in the grade between these two chatzerot. So if you have that, right, these chatzerim. So if you have that, then the first chatzer has to build up, the lower chatzer has to bring up 4 amot to protect against chesek riyah. So the first 2 amot are going to be all his problem because the upper level has no shaykhut to those first 2 amot. Now, once you reach the level of the upper level where he needs to put his 4 amot in, then he has to start contributing, right, and to putting up to the wall to get it up to the level where he's going. Now, it sounds like from here that he must put up the whole amount, that he didn't contribute anything, meaning that each one builds to the extent that they need to build. The lower level builds for his four amot, and the upper level builds his four amot, and they don't have to. They all have to join in or jointly build for wherever they have a common level of the four amot. Now, that the Rav Chisda says no, that the guy on the upper level has to help the lower guy build up, because his wall is going to sit on top of this, meaning that he benefits from the wall that's being put up below, and therefore he has to contribute to the lower wall as well. That he can't just say, listen, you put up your wall and then I'll build on top of it. No, he has to contribute to that lower half of the lower half of the wall over here. Now, Rabbeinu Tam explains over here, right, that you have to say, or have to explain here, what is the, why is there an obligation for the upper level to join with the lower level? Truthfully, he doesn't have any obligation to the lower level. So Rabbeinu Tam says, "Gon shechatzer tachton in amuch eloitzel chatzero shel elyon." Right, mitzad echad uguvah kechatzer elyon shuchali rod misham. Right, so now, once the, if you have the lower level, builds up his four amot, and he can't see into the other level anymore. He can't see into the other side. So he says, listen, I don't have any more obligation. Why do I have to pay for the upper level at all? Why do I have to enjoin or be a part of that? So the answer is that it's not a level grade in the lower chatzer. Lower chatzer is like a downhill grade. So portions of it are lower, but are portions that are up level with the upper level. And for those upper level pieces where he's they're same level, then he can see into the other person's property. For that reason, he has to join or have to be a participant in the whole wall along the top. And the Rimefaresh Tachton Mazik Delion Kikai Elion, right? That the Tachton can bother the, hurts the upper level, Kikai Elion, when the other upper level stands there, right? Meaning that when the upper guy is standing up on his property, the lower level can now look up and see the upper level. So therefore, he does have Hezekriah looking up, even though he's built up his full four amot. So the obligation for the lower level to join the upper level, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even though he's done his, like, I've done my thing, I put my four amot up, I don't should have to do anything anymore. So Rabbeinu Tam says no, either because his chatzer is not level, and there are areas of his chatzer that are high enough to look into the upper level, and that's why he has to enjoin it. The Rebbe says even without that, he has to be a participant. Why? Because when the upper guy on the upper level comes to the edge of his property and is standing up, you can look up and you can see him. If you can look up and see him, you're doing Hezekriah. So he has to help fill and finish the wall in order that that doesn't happen. Tanya Kaveti the Rav Chisda, we have a brace that supports the position of Rav Chisda. The upper level doesn't say, I'm going to build from my level up. You have to help the lower level build up until that point in time, or until that level. If your chatzer is above the gag of your friend, right, then you do not have to. You don't have to help him. Again, according to Rav Nachman, he's going to have to explain, he doesn't have to put up Arba Mot, but he still has to put up a Mechitza Basara Tifachim. Okay, we'll stop over here.